just check levels of volume for us, please? Is that, are you hearing? Is that coming out of the speakers? Is it turned on? That's it now. Okay. Okay, I'm going to pray and ask for God's blessing on his word this morning. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of your word and open our ears to hear what you're saying to us, please. You are our God. Beside you, there is no other. The gods of the nations are nothing but idols. But you alone are the true and living God. And we turn now to your word that you might speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, Keith spoke on how important it is for a person who has come to God or has become a Christian through Jesus to walk in repentance. And, you know, that sometimes is a big religious word that confuses people. It just means a change of mind. Once they weren't interested in God and the things of God, and they've had a change of mind, and they are now interested in God, they've turned around, and then they are baptized. So that's what Keith was saying, the importance of a person who has come to God through Jesus to walk in repentance and to be baptized. Now, I'm putting it on record here, and it'll go out in the podcast as well, that at Shiloh Christian Fellowship, we don't believe the Bible teaches that Christians absolutely need to be baptized to be saved. But we certainly agree that it is a very important step in their walk with God. It's a milestone in that sense, in their walk with God. And obviously, if people can be baptized, then they should be baptized. However, nowadays, many individuals get baptized into churches, yet they know nothing of repentance, which I believe should always precede baptism. And I suppose that throws some scorn on infant baptism, because I don't believe in infant baptism simply because I do not believe that infants can repent. And I, therefore, am clear that the Bible teaches baptism follows repentance. So, you know, I know that's an issue for debate. However, repentance unto salvation always comes from God. And one proof, I suppose you could put it that way, one proof of godly repentance is a willingness or a desire to be baptized. Keith spoke about the willingness of the Ethiopian man to be baptized after Philip had gone up to his chariot and actually explained that his reading in Isaiah chapter 53 verses 7 to 8 was all about Jesus. And when the man understood it, he came across water and immediately desired to be baptized. So there was that repentance and there was that willingness to be baptized. I've told the story how I remember having the wonderful privilege of leading a dying man to Jesus while the man was in the Marie Curie Center. And having become a Christian, he said to me, "When I get out, Taddy, is there any chance that I could be baptized at Shiloh?" He later realized that he wasn't actually going to get out, and still he asked to be baptized in his room. And I conducted then a symbolic baptism by sprinkling of water, and all who were there could physically see the peace and the joy that it brought to that man, because he had desired it. He knew he had given his life to the Lord, and he knew he wanted what he believed to be the next step was to be baptized. And we joked on the morning that I went up, because I had this wee bottle of water, and I'd said to him, he was a loyalist all his days, and I had this wee bottle of water, and I went up to him, I says, "Listen, I had to go to chapel to get this." And the priest passed it himself. And you've seen his face. But anyway, I told him I was joking, and he was delighted. He was delighted, and he died and went to be with the Lord just short time later. He had repented. He had approached God through Jesus, and as a first fruit of his salvation, he desired to be baptized, just like the Ethiopian that Keith spoke about. You see, once a Christian is baptized, they don't need to be rebaptized, which again causes a problem for me with infant baptism. And I know that's a covenantal thing that people, you know, try to justify. But when an infant is baptized, the Bible's clear, you don't need to be baptized a second time. So again, it throws a bit of scorn on that. But once a Christian is baptized, they don't need to be rebaptized. It's a one-off action. However, when a Christian knowingly sins, and we all do that, they must keep genuinely repenting. Even though we are forgiven for all of our sins, we live in a sin-cursed world, in sin-cursed bodies, and sin is affecting us on a daily basis, and we need to keep walking in repentance. Baptism is about our old life, the old Adamic nature, dying and being buried, while coming up out of the water implies resurrection to new life in Christ. Christians still commit sins. I commit sins. We do so because we're sinners. And we need to be continually walking in repentance, but we do not need to be continually baptized. So the context this morning is this. The disciples of Jesus were sent out into the world with his authority, with the help of the Holy Spirit, and with the promise that Jesus would be with them as they approached others with the gospel to make new disciples. Now, I want you to think about this morning. If the Lord appeared here physically, if the Holy Spirit could somehow appear physically, and both of them were with us, and it says, "Now, Nolene, I want you to go out and tell people about my love. And you have all my authority. And here's the Holy Spirit who's going to help you. And by the way, I'll come with you." Now, if he's saying that to us all, surely we should not have any fear about telling other people about Jesus. Because that is the commission we have. Just because we can't see the Lord physically, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And Jesus, seated at God's right hand, who has been given all authority in heaven and earth, has said, "Julie, I want you to go out with all of my authority out to the people and tell them about my love for them and tell them that there is forgiveness. Alice, I want you to tell your next door neighbors about the love of God. And guess what? I've given you my Holy Spirit to dwell within you, and I will be with you when you're doing it." Should that not get us all excited about wanting to go out and tell people about Jesus? So that is the context. The disciples of Jesus, that's including us. If you are a Christian, you are a disciple of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus went out into the world with his authority. That's with all of the authority of heaven and earth, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the promise that Jesus would be with us as we approach others with the gospel, hopefully to make new disciples. My first reading this morning is just one verse from Psalm 127. The psalmist says these words in verse 1. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. My main reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and I'm reading from verse 15 to the end of the chapter. Jesus said these words to his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. We know that when Luke, or Dr. Luke, had written the book of Acts to a man called Theophilus, we know that he wrote it telling him about the works Jesus began to do. You see, when Jesus died and rose again from the grave and met with the disciples and then swanned off up into heaven, he didn't sit there, put his feet up and just think, well, that's my bit done. Jesus is still at work. And so Luke wanted this guy Theophilus to know that I'm writing to you now. I had written to you in Luke about the work that Jesus began to do, but I'm writing to you now about what he is doing at this current time, and it comes right down to this very day. Jesus is still at work. Remember, it was Jesus who said, I am building my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. See, he doesn't say that any of us are building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus is saying, I'm building my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The building continued with the first disciples after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait in Jerusalem until you have received the promise from the Father, and then when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. And they proclaimed in Jerusalem that Jesus, God's Son, was crucified for sin, that he died, and that he was raised from the dead. In fact, Mark says it this way, that they, the disciples, went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Jesus is still building his church today, and you, Christian, are a part of it. He's still using his people to work with him as he continues to build his church. And that's a very privileged position. The Bible says that we are co-workers with Christ. But it is Jesus' church, and he is building it. He's just using us. Christian, you are a member of his church, while at the same time he gives you the privilege of helping him build it. It's the Lord's church, and it's his work. We are his people, just helping him build it. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to help him build it. And he comes alongside us to work with us and his Holy Spirit to help him build it. And he gives us one another to work alongside him and his Holy Spirit to help him build his church. It's the Lord's church, it's his work, and we're just helping him. And that's why the psalmist knew this very important truth. Hundreds of years before Jesus came to say that I am building my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, the psalmist was able to say, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. You see, the Lord is the architect and the builder. We're co-workers with him. So what does it mean? And I think it was Juliet prayed, said, Lord, help us to see other things that we can do in our prayer time. So what does it mean for us as we come up with ideas to tell other people about Jesus? For example, at Shiloh, our evangelism steering group meets to formulate an action plan for the year with different ideas and events, all aimed at making Jesus known. Because it's all about Jesus. There's no use to have an evangelism steering group if it's not about Jesus. So we meet together and we come up with a plan of wonderful ideas to tell people about Jesus. And then during the year, other people come up with different ideas, really good ideas to tell other people or to bring other people here so that they can hear the good news about Jesus. So what does this mean as we come up with these ideas to tell others about Jesus? In light of what I've said, what does it actually mean? Well, it means all evangelism. That's the spreading of the Christian gospel, whether by public preaching or by personal witness. All evangelism must be completely dependent on the Lord. If you're going out there to tell other people about Jesus and you think you can do it in your own initiative with your own wee ideas, or you can just produce all of this in your own head, think again. One, it can't happen. And two, if it's off the flesh, it will come to nothing. It can't happen in the sense that you're not going to make any difference whatsoever in a person's life if it's off the flesh. It means all evangelism must be completely dependent on the Lord. What He's doing, and Rita said this, what He's doing now and how we can work with Him. It's about recognizing everything we seek to do to promote the gospel must be rooted and grounded in Jesus. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. As I was thinking about this during the week, John Wimber came to mind. Now, for those who don't know of John Wimber, he's gone to be with the Lord now, but he was a pastor and founder of Vineyard Church in America. And among many other wonderful things, he also wrote the book Power Evangelism. It's worth reading, by the way, if you can get your hands on it. Power Evangelism. Power Evangelism is about a form of evangelism which relies on the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit working through Christians to reach potential new believers. It's about Christians learning to rely upon the Holy Spirit, who knows and sees what Jesus is doing, for Him to show us these things that we might do them too. That's basically what it's about. And I was sharing with Gary this morning in the early prayer meeting, you know, I said to the Lord, how does this work? And all that. You get confused about it and you're scared about it because you say, Lord, show me how to do it and help me to say something. And then I had to go to do a bit of drugs counseling with someone last week and the Lord said to me, take over a box of plasters. And I went, what? And then I thought, this is just me. What am I going to take a box of bandages to this guy for, plasters? But I just thought, you know what, I'll do this for a laugh, see what happens. So couldn't get a box. And then he changed the venue because I knew where I was supposed to meet and there was a chemist next door. So I thought I'll fly in and get a box, but I couldn't. So I flew into Shiloh early in the morning before I left and lifted a handful of plasters out of the first aid kit. Put them in my pocket, away I went to speak to the guy. And when we were in our conversation, whatever, he was talking about how things had gone really bad. And I said to him, you know that I'm a Christian. And I said, now you know that I don't preach at you whenever I'm doing all this drugs counseling and stuff. I don't do that. I'll send them texts to come to missions and stuff, but I don't preach at people when I'm specifically dealing with these issues. I'll tell them that I'm a Christian. I'll tell them about Jesus. But I said to him, I was praying about you this morning, and I felt that God said to me that I had to give you something. And I said, so there you go. And threw on the table half a dozen plasters. And he says, what are you trying to tell me? Am I going to get a hiding? And I says, no. I says, I believe the Lord said to me, you've got to stop trying to fix your broken life with plasters because you're not going to be able to do it. You need a new life. And I said, the only place you'll get it is Jesus. And I said, that's the sermon finished. And we went on with the counseling. Now, I don't know what's going to become of that, if anything at all, but that was trying to learn to rely upon the Holy Spirit. And power evangelism, about a form of evangelism which relies on the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit working through Christians to reach potential new believers. It's about Christians learning to rely upon the Holy Spirit, who knows and sees what Jesus is doing, to show us those things so that we might do them too. In fact, one review of the book says this: power evangelism is not the way most churches practice evangelism, which relies upon intellectual argument with the hope of salvation through logic and structured rituals. And that's fine, you know, that's a preaching of the gospel, bringing people in and the preaching of the gospel and stuff, and that's powerful, and God uses, God's word is powerful, it's living and active. The gospel is still the power of God for salvation, but that's not what Wimber's talking about in power evangelism. And he's saying here, this critic is saying, power evangelism is not the way most churches practice evangelism. You see, many believe power evangelism is the way that Jesus operated during his 3 years of ministry. He totally depended and relied upon the Holy Spirit. He put it another way: I only do the things I see the Father doing. And we should only be doing the things we see the Lord doing. Although most Christians believe a person becomes a Christian fundamentally through the work of the Holy Spirit, and we know that the Bible says, Paul wrote it, that he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, what that means is no one can become a Christian and declare that Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit has moved in their lives. And although most Christians believe that a person becomes a Christian fundamentally through the work of the Holy Spirit, in power evangelism, supernatural events such as healings, prophetic revelation, words of knowledge, dreams that are shared are a demonstration of that power and declare the reality and the glory of God. Wimber said, power evangelism is demonstrated in the lives of the early church as seen in the book of Acts. And so, if you read the book of Acts, you will see like Naomi taking hankies that people just prayed with Paul and took them and touched people's bodies and they were healed. You read the book of Acts and you will see miraculous things happening. This was the Lord continuing the work that he began to do using signs and wonders, touching people's lives in powerful, powerful ways. They went out and preached the gospel everywhere, the Lord working with them through signs and wonders. Christian, we are all commissioned with the full authority of the Lord to go and tell others the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus. There is no exceptions. There are no exceptions whatsoever within the kingdom of God. Every Christian, every born-again believer has been commissioned and authorized by the Lord to go and tell others the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be called out to Bongo Bongo Land. It doesn't mean that we're going to Outer Mongolia. It doesn't mean that we're going to have to go to faraway places like Donega Dee. It doesn't mean any of those things. We may just be called to tell others within our own homes, within our own neighborhood, within our own communities, maybe people that we know in our own workplaces. But we're commissioned and authorized to do it. And we've been given the Holy Spirit to help us, and Jesus has promised, and guess what? I'm going to be with you when you do it. And you just don't know. As Rita said, a suddenly may come, and there will be a supernatural event in a person's life. I would love to see more supernatural events. I would love to see them all happening for you, not so much for me. I'd love to see them happening. So you have to do them. Each of us, Christian, each of us has received the Holy Spirit who has come to dwell with us. And he enables, equips, and empowers us to fulfill the commission of the Lord. There is no exception. You have the Holy Spirit and all the power of God and all the authority of Jesus Christ and the promise of Jesus that he will be with you as you go out to tell others about him. But all the great evangelistic ideas and church events will never bring a single soul to the Lord if it is not what the Lord is doing. This is why I said earlier that everything that we do must be rooted and grounded in Jesus. Because no matter what great events we put on, no matter what wonderful church you might belong to, if it is not what the Lord is doing, you're not going to make a blind bit of difference. All of our efforts, our missions and services will not bring about one iota of change in a person's condition before a holy God if it is not what the Lord is doing. And so, like Jesus, we must learn to depend on the Holy Spirit. He sees what Jesus is doing. See, we can't see it necessarily. We need revelation from God. But the Holy Spirit always sees what Jesus is doing. Remember, he began the work and he is continuing the work. He said, I'm building my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he will keep on building his church until that very last soul that belongs to him comes in. He's doing this work, and therefore we need to depend on the Holy Spirit to show us what Jesus is doing. He sees what Jesus is doing, and we need to rely on him revealing that to us so that we might do it too. This, ladies and gentlemen, is power evangelism. I've told stories of Fire Brother Michael, as we call him, because every time we meet, he say, "You're on Fire Brother." And he had been told by the Spirit of God, "Get on that bus, it's coming down the road." And he didn't know where it was going, just get on it. And then the Lord said, "Get off at this stop. See that door over there, I want you to go there. Knock that door, knock that door." And I said, "What do you say to him? Just tell him that I love him." And the man opens the door. He says, "Listen, I've just been sent here by God to tell you that he loves you very much." Man burst into tears. Now, he didn't necessarily fall on his face in repentance, but burst into tears and said, "Thank you," and away he went. I tell a story of a former friend of mine who knew a name, was given a name, standing in a church meeting, a church that she didn't even belong to, standing in there singing songs when as clear as day she heard this man's name. "I want you to go and say this to this man." Now, this man at the time was a brigadier of the UVF, and she didn't know that, and I didn't want to tell her. So she came to me and said to me, "Do you know this person?" And I says, "Yes." And I says, "I'll tell you where he lives." So she went to his house, and his wife came out and says, "Well, what do you want him for?" She says, "I've got a message from God," a bit like a Blues Brothers. And she says, "Well, oh, right, he works down in this particular place in Bangor." And she walked down to where he worked, and she went, knocked the door of the wee hut that he worked in, and he opened and says, "Yeah." He says, "I have a message from God for you." He says, "Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?" And that's in the book of Acts. "Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?" And the man's eyes filled with tears, and he spoke about how he was a backslider, and he knew that he needed to get right with God again, and he did prior to his death. That's power evangelism. That's if you want to be used in that way by the Lord. And you know what? There's no exceptions. Every Christian who opens themselves and says, "Lord, teach me to rely upon you," everyone can be used to enact in that sense those suddenlies into people's lives. But as I said, all of our efforts, all of our missions and services will not bring about one iota of change in a person's condition before a holy God if it's not what the Lord is doing. It's about relying on the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit, working through Christians to reach potential new believers. It's about relying not on our own strength, not on our own wisdom or understanding, or not even on our good ideas for evangelism, but relying upon the Holy Spirit. Christian, over the next month, Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings, we are going to have opportunities to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit as we ask the Lord to show us your glory in healings. He may do other things. So I want to ask you this morning, are you prepared to pay? Like I've always said to people, be careful how you pray. But you know, we say, "Lord, I want to serve you. I want a closer walk with you at whatever cost." And that can be a costly prayer. So I want to ask you, Christian, this morning, are you prepared to pray this prayer? "Lord, show me how your power evangelism works for Christians and unbelievers. Teach me, Holy Spirit, to rely upon you and to follow your leading." Let me say something. Never ever underestimate the power of God's word, whether written, whether spoken, whether the prophetic word, but neither underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in evangelism. Remember, we may not be very good evangelists, but there's a great one, a brilliant one, living in us, and he wants to use us to work alongside Jesus as he builds his church. Are you prepared to pray that prayer this morning? And if you are, I'm going to say it again. If you are, you pray it after me, quietly yourself. If you're prepared to pray that, now that means if the Spirit of God prompts you to say something, "I'm not too scared." You know, you can't say that. You can't, "Oh, I'm not going to do it, I'll get killed." I remember the Lord told me one time to go and see this major drug dealer about somebody owed him money, and the guy had come to my house panicking. In fact, he had dived out the window through the glass and everything to get away. And the Lord sent this guy to my house, and the guy said, "Oh, you're going to have to help me, or they're going to kill me, they're going to kill me." And he was cutting all, like, trying to get away. And I said, "I'm not going, they'll murder me." He said, "These people would shoot you in the blink of an eye." Just please, please, please. So I remember going into my room and getting down on my knees and I prayed and said, Lord, I'm really scared. I really do not want to go and speak to this person because, you know, they'll kill me. And the Lord spoke from Isaiah, no weapon that is forged shall prevail against you. And I took that on board and I went and I spoke to this person trembling, saying, Lord, please be with me at the door. And held on to that promise. And I'm telling you, I was surprised at the suddenly, because the person welcomed me in. You want a cup of tea or coffee? And I explained the situation. He says, I'll give them another 2 weeks, seeing you've asked. That was the grace and the mercy of God. And I didn't get bait, which was even more gracious and merciful. So if you're prepared to pray this prayer, please be open to the Spirit's leading. Follow His lead and do what He says. You've got to take risks for Jesus. And this is the prayer. Lord, show me how your power evangelism works for Christians and unbelievers. Teach me, Holy Spirit, to rely upon you and to follow your lead. Christian, if you have prayed that prayer this morning, be ready for it happening. It's coming. Be open to be led by the Spirit of God. Maybe this morning there's someone here and they're not yet a Christian, or maybe listening to our podcast and you're not yet a Christian. And you may have loads of questions about being a Christian or what it means. Well, let me ask you for a moment to set aside all of your questions for now and ask yourself this. Do I believe Jesus loves me and came and died for my sin and was raised again to give me life? So if you're not a Christian, I'm going to ask you this. Set aside all of your questions again. Clear them out of your mind and answer. Do I believe Jesus loves me and came and died for my sin and was raised again to give me life? You see, your answer may determine where you will spend eternity. If you have answered, yes, I believe, well then the next step is to repent, turn around and be baptized in the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. That's what God's word says. If your answer was, I don't know, or no, I don't believe, then God's word teaches that you are dead in your sin, that you are currently under condemnation, and you will be separated from God forever if you remain in that condition. You must repent. Change your mind about your ways. Change your mind about God and be baptized in the name of the Lord for the forgiveness of sins. There is no other way. But I'll end with this by reminding you that God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son into the world to die so that you don't have to perish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, thank you for your word to us this morning. But we don't want it just to be words. We want to see these words put into action. As we ask you, Lord, show us, please show us what you really mean by power evangelism. Teach us to rely upon your Holy Spirit and the gifts that He gives, Lord God, and use us to reach others with your love. Lord, we're not in any way undervaluing or underestimating the power of your word. It's living and it's active and it's wonderful. It's still the power of God for salvation to anyone who believes. But we're asking you, Lord, teach us about power evangelism. Teach us about relying upon the Holy Spirit who sees what Jesus is doing, that He would reveal that to us and that we would do it too. We offer ourselves to you. We offer this fellowship to you for your glory. And for anyone, Lord, who's not yet a Christian, move in the power of your Spirit and show them your love. Speak to them, Lord, of their need of repentance and faith in Jesus, and draw them unto Him for your own name's sake. Amen.